But it's another mitzvah in Tafshin Bay Bates.
Start your day of the Torah way in Northwest London, Friday, 10th September, 4th of Tishri, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Rappaport, a stolen Esrig.
Good morning, everyone. Bereshus, both here physically and virtually. I'd like to say over a story. And we'll discuss the questions that arise from that story, and perhaps we can reach a conclusion. The story is a true story. It happened in New York, America. There's a dentist who lives in New York, and one of his patients is a goy who works in customs in JFK. Now, a few days before Sukkot, the patient came for a regular checkup, and he told the dentist, I've got a present for you. And out from his bag, he pulled the box, and inside the box was a beautiful esrog. So the dentist asked the guy, he said, where did you pick this up from? He said, I just confiscated it from someone in the airport. So the dentist approached his rov with the esrog, and he said, what do I do? Do I need to give it back? Can I keep it? Can I use it? Can I make a bracha? And there's many questions that arise. I'd be glad to hear any opinions. Or
the goy was
so you're saying that the yid who was his confidence was already miyayish, he was mafkirit, and the goy was going to give it to him. Okay, you're on the right track.
The goy had no right to take it.
We'll see. Very good. All on the right track. It's confiscated. Let's start from the first step. It's usually a good place to start. So the first thing is we have to know is that everyone's very busy with does he own it or not, right? So where's the source for that? So we know that says in the Pasuk, it says, Ulkachtem lochem bayim orishoin, peri eitzador kapoiz tamarim, vanaf eitzavoiz v'arvi nochal. You have to take it for you on the first day, all the Arba Minyan. Now there's a double expression used in the Pasuk. Ulakachtem lochem. You should take for you. Ulakachtem already includes you should take. So what's lochem for you? Pardon?
Ulakachtem to buy as well.
Ulakachtem means to buy, but you can take from Hefker as well. Yeah. So ulakachtem lochem, that you should take for you, Chazal Darshan from lochem, extra expression for you, that it has to belong to you as well. Right? It has to belong to you, but it's only by Yom Harishon. Ulakachtem lochem by Yom Harishon. And not on the second day of the Yom Tov, or the third day of Yom Tov. On the first day of Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah to own the est. There's a mitzvah to take lulav and arba minim on all the days of Sukkot. But on the first day specifically, deraisa, one must own the arba minim. On the second day, one can even borrow that. Right? So the Mishnah says in the beginning of lulav agozel in Sukkah, daf choftes on the base, lulav agozel vayovish posel. A stolen lulav and a dry lulav is possible. And says the Gemara, Kaposik Vitani, the Mishnah cut it off and stated it clearly. There's no differentiation whether it's the first day of Yom Tov or whether it's the second day of Yom Tov. The first day of Yom Tov, we know the Eshrig has to belong to you, and the second day of the Yom Tov, you can borrow an Eshrig as well. But either way, whether it's the first day where it has to belong to you, whether it's the second day where it does not have to belong to you, a dry lulav and a stolen lulav are both possible for the mitzvah. So says the Gemara, why? Bishlam Yovish, I understand that the Yovish dried out lulav is possible for the mitzvah on both days of Sukkot. Other binan, you need to have a beautiful mitzvah and dried out an oisgevepte lulav or an esrig. Sinir Shein, it doesn't look nice, it's not good. So it's hodor, there's a din hodor and esrig, and a din hodor and arba minim, that they have to be beautiful. A dried out minim is not beautiful, dried out minim. Elo gozel, but stolen bishlom Yom Tov Rishon. I can understand the first day of Yom Tov Tisiv lochem. It says it has to belong to you. Mishel lochem yehei. Cheshavif has to be yours. Elo Yom Tov Sheni amai. Why on Yom Tov Sheni on the second day of Yom Tov is a stolen lulav possible? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yechanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Mishum da havelei mitzvah haba o ba'avera. It's a mitzvah which comes from an avera. Shneamar, how do we know that a mitzvah which comes from an avera is bad? Is not good. It is not a good mitzvah. It's not a valid mitzvah. Shenema, like the Pasuk says, when the Novi was telling off Klal Yisrael, Malachi was telling off Klal Yisrael about the way they were acting to the Rebbeinu Shalom, he says, you brought korbanos. Which korbanos did you bring to the Rebbeinu Shalom? You bought a stolen korban, you bought a lame korban, you bought an ill korban. And the Gemara says, a lame korban has no fit. You cannot fix a lame korban. It's got no takona. So too, a gozel doesn't have a takona. Now the Gemara goes at length to discuss mitzvah aboba avera, a mitzvah which arises from an avera. And the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara of mitzvah aboba avera, a mitzvah which arises from an avera, is divided into two camps, into Rabbi Natam and the Ri. Rabbi Natam says that if a person acquires anything via an avera, then that object is now possible for mitzvah forever. For instance, if Reuven were to go and steal an esrog, that mitzvah, that esrog could never be used for a mitzvah by Reuven. By Reuven at least, yeah? Rabbeinu Tam explained, that's Rabbeinu Tam's shita. And it's really dependent on the contradiction between you, Ula's shita about Yush. We're not going to go into that right now. But the Ri says that this is not the case. The Ri says that mitzvah b'avera doesn't mean that any time a person does a mitzvah that was enabled by an avera, it's possible. For instance, were Reuven to steal money, and he would take that money and buy an esrog, the esrog is kosher for a mitzvah. Yes? Even though the way Reuven acquired the esrog is via an avera, because he stole money and then used the money to buy an esrog. Even Rabbeinu Tam agrees to that. The Ri says even further, the Ri says, where the avera enables you to do the mitzvah, that's where there's a problem arises. And to understand the Shita Sari, we have to make another introduction. When Reuven steals something, how does Reuven own that object that he stole? So when I want to buy your car, when I want to buy your house, I have to do kinyan. I can do kinyan chazak on a house, on a car, I can do kinyan mashiach or masir or whatever the case may be. But when Reuven comes along and steals an esrog, how does he own that esrog? You have to do kinyanim. Now, stam hagabah, lifting up an esrog, is very good on selling you an esrog. But when a Reuven's stealing an esrog, he can't just stand by lifting up the esrog and own the esrog. There's the kinyanim you have to make. And there's kinyanim which work by gezela, which work to fully transfer the ownership. A shinui maisa, a substantial physical change. Reuven would steal a log of wood and carve it into a very nice walking stick. So he's no longer obligated to return that walking stick to the nigzal, to the person he stole it from. Because he's done a shinui maisa, he substantially changed the physical properties of that piece of wood. So Reuven can keep the walking stick. He's obligated to make good the debt that he now owes to Shimon, to the nigzal. He stole wood from Shimon, he has to pay Shimon back for the wood. But he doesn't have to return the physical piece of wood, because he's made a substantial change. A shinui maisa. If Reuven were to steal the piece of wood, and Shimon would say, "Vay l'chisoron kis," so such a loss, chaval, I've lost that piece of wood. And Reuven would then go along and pass it on to Levi. So you've had a yiush from the original owner, he's given up hope of retrieving his object. And you've had a shinu reshus, the ownership has transferred from the gazdan, from Reuven, to Levi. In such a case, it now belongs to Levi. Totally. Levi's not obligated to give it back to the nigzal. Reuven's not obligated to give it back to the nigzal. It's a yush v'shinu reshus. You can have a yush v'shinu hashem, a giving up hope, and a change in the name. The change in the name doesn't necessarily need to include a physical change, even a minute, even it can have a minor physical change. If a person steals a piece of leather, which was known only as a piece of leather, and he did a slight adjustment to it, and it is now known as a saddle, it's now can be used as a rug. A person takes a piece of wood and smooths off the piece of wood, slices it, and now you can use it as part of a pestle and a mortar. So there's not been a substantial physical change, but there's been a shinu hashem. The name has changed. It's changed from being a piece of leather to a piece of rug, to a rug. It's changed from being a piece of wood to a pestle and a mortar. That's a huge shinu hashem. Says the Ri, where the kinyan came about through the mitzvah, that's a mitzvah avoda avera. If a person steals a hadas branch, yes, and then he takes it as designated in some fashion, he designates it as a hadas, so it's changed from being a piece of a tree to being a hadas, for instance, by removing the, sometimes you can have berries on the hadasim, and the berries can pass all hadasim, so if you remove the berries, it suddenly becomes hadas. So the name has changed to hadas of a mitzvah, so you've had yush v'shini hashem. In such a case, says the Ri, that's where there's mitzvah baba avera. Where the acquisition, where the mitzvah enabled you to acquire, That's where there's a problem mitzvah about Omer. Or, for instance, if a person would be given a stolen esrog on the first day of Yom Tov, and he'd lift it up to be yotze the mitzvah, and by him lifting up the esrog, that is where the shini rishus comes in, the transfer of domain. Reuven stole an esrog and he gave it to Shimon as a present, and Shimon hadn't done any kidonim, he hadn't done any lifting up, he hadn't done any acquisition, so there hadn't yet been a change of ownership. And the first time he did it was Shavuos, was Sukkos morning. Over there, says the reader, be a mitzvah of Avir. Fine, so we're clear. L'chor, in our case, there's no mitzvah of Avir because he did it well before Yom Tov.
All the examples of Shinui Hashem that you gave, there was a Shinui Maaseh as well.
So it's a very, very slight Shinui Maaseh. It's not substantial enough to quantify. It's called the Shinui Maaseh. It's a substantial physical change. And sometimes you can have a Shinui Hashem where you don't even have a Shinui Maaseh. For instance, if you suddenly decide something should be fit for, I think the Gemara in Baba Kama discusses these leather pieces that you designate as rugs. You don't necessarily need a physical act. The Gemara does discuss trimming off the sides, but it's not considered a substantial enough physical change, so it's not going to be called Shinui Maaseh. So, seemingly, it would be no problem. Everything sounds good and fine. Now, let me share with you a different Gemara. And this Gemara is actually Nogea to us. So, Rav Huna was giving instructions to the Socherim, Barba Minim. Yeah? Omar Alu Rav Huna Lahana Avankari. This is a Gemara on Sukkot Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. Rav Huna said to the Avankari, and the Avankari, Rashi explains, are the Socherim who deal with Arba Minim. Ki Zavnitu Asim Akum, when you buy an Hadas from a Goy, Loitik Zezu Atun, don't chop the Hadas yourself, Elolik Zezu Hu Inhu. They should chop it. They should cut it off the tree. V'yavelucho and give it to you. My time. And what's the reasoning? Stam oivdekir chovim gazloni arateninu. A stam goy, he's probably stolen the land. So you, the seicha, are going to go to a goy and ask him if you can cut off hadasim from his properties. It's probably stolen land. V'karaka einon igzeles. And land always remains within the property or within the domain, the rishus of the original owner. The basis for this is that when a portable object is stolen, metaltalin, so the person gives up hope. He's never going to retrieve it. But land is there. You can't move land around, it's there. So the yush, the giving up hope, can never kick in into land. Yeah? So when the goy stole the land from the original owner, the yush could never kick in. So this piece of land has still got a name of stolen land. Yes? Hilkach, therefore, ligzazuhu inu yush, they should cut it. Ki heichid el hav yush bailim biyodaihu, in order that the yush should kick in their hands, because as soon as they cut off the hadas branch, the yush kicks in straight away, because it's no longer land, it's now a movement out of a movable object. So you've got yush, which is one aspect. Veshinirashus biyodaihu, and the shinirashus, the change of ownership should come into your hand. The gazlan stole it from the original owner, the goy stole it from the original owner, and the yush will kick in your hand when you take it. So says Rav Huna, if you want to make sure that you can use, and the Gemara explains that we're talking about the hadas, it goes on to explain, we're talking about the hadas that the seichrim are going to use themselves. If you want to use the hadas that gets cut off from the goy's land, make sure that the yush happens earlier, before it comes to your hand, so you can have yush and shinui rishus. And that way, yush and shinui rishus, you'll be able to use the hadas for... No, but it doesn't matter because the land is always called in the property of the
land. Correct, so? So it's a
Dolochodos,
he never had it. He first never owned that.
He still owns the land.
That's never
owned. The hadas is part of the land. Anything can.
It
doesn't matter, it's still his land. If I own a garden, anything that grows in the garden is mine, right? I own a field, anything that grows there is mine, right? Even if someone goes and plants the field, he only gets money as a worker. It depends whether he's done it with permission or without permission. But he never gets more. It's mine. It belongs to me. So if someone steals a piece of land, you can grow there for 30, 40, 50 years. They've got to pay what they've put in, the money they've put in. And it depends whether the rishus, whether they've got them. That's a different story. That's his effort. You pay him like a worker, but it belongs to me. It's mine. So now, what's the problem? What was Rav Huna worried about? He said, perhaps the land is stolen. Who was he worried about? So it's a very important Rashi. Rashi says, Shema Oisa Karka Misrael Hava. Perhaps that belonged to a Yid. What happened if it belonged to a goy? The land belonged to a goy, there's no problem. Gezel Akum is Mutter. Gezel Akum is also. Right? So why does Rashi say Shema Misrael? So this is not my Kasha. This is the Achronim's Kasha. The Achronim already pointed. It's actually the Rishonim that actually speak about it on Rashi. And the truth is that Rashi is not a Das Yochid. There are many Rishonim also say this. Rav Avraham Ben Ahor says this. The Piskei Ritz says this. The Rabbein Yerucham, the Riaz, who was Piskei Ritz's grandson, they all bring that. It's that we're worried about. Perhaps it was stolen from a Yid. Now, if it's stolen from a Goy, seemingly there's no problem. So we said that Gezel Akum is Asa. Why is Gezel Akum Asa? Why are you not allowed to steal from a Goy? Lo Sikza?
Able.
Pardon?
Able.
Which means that? Huh? Which means that what? It's the Raisa?
No.
Definitely not if it's Eva, right? But that's not everyone agrees to that. It's a Machalikas. We pass in Gezel Akum is also Ben HaTorah. I can't remember the Pasuk exactly, but we pass in, it's not from Lissi, it's from a different Pasuk. Rashi held, like you said correctly saying, Rashi held that Gezel Akum was only Midirabonon. If Gezel Akum is only Midirabonon, at this Chashash that perhaps the land was stolen, perhaps it was stolen from a Goy, we're not worried about it. We're only worried that perhaps it was stolen from me.
No, it's no chashash for Gezel, it's because the Goy did the Gezel. Now he's giving it to the
So what was the story? Rav Huna said to them, what did he say? That they should cut it, in order that the Yush should happen where?
Pardon?
Where should the Yush happen?
Yush should happen already with the Goy.
It didn't happen because it's land. Karka in Exelus.
No,
land.
He cut it, the minute he cut it.
That's when the Yush happens. So yeah. Who has to cut it?
The Goy.
Exactly. What happens if the Yush cuts it?
He's got his stealing for the Goy.
Right. He's stealing from the original owner, who was Yisro.
Yeah.
And if it was a Goy? If the original owner was a Goy?
Also, Gezel Akum.
Oh, so that's what we're saying. That if the worry was that the original land belonged to a Goy, we wouldn't have a problem with the Yid cutting straight away. Even though the Yush is going to kick in when the Yid cuts off, but nevertheless, because Gezel Akum was only with the Rabbanon, on the Sofik, on the Tzad, we're not worried. But there's another issue. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara in Baba Kamma Daf Tzadik Dalet says the Gemara like this. Rebbe Lezer ben Yankov Omer. Rebbe Lezer ben Yankov says a story. Hareisha Gozal Sa'a Shel Chitin. Reuven stole a Sa'a of Chitin, a measure of wheat. Tochano, he ground it. Losho, he kneaded it. V'afo, and he baked it. No, what you have to do afterwards? V'hifrish mimeno chala, and he separated chala. Now, in such a case, Reuven, he stole the wheat. So he's Gezel. Tochano, he ground it. It's a Shinim Aisa. It's the best Kenyan possible. It totally belongs to Reuven. Not only did he grind it, he kneaded it. Another Shinei Maaseh. Another substantial physical change. And he baked it. It totally belongs to Reuven. And now he's separating challah. No, what do you do when you separate the Shinei of challah? You have to make a bracha. Ketzad mevorech. What is the bracha does he make? Ein ze mevorech ele menaitz. This is not called a bracha. It's called rebelling against the Reuven Shleilo. You steal something and now you're going to make a bracha on it. Ein ze mevorech ele menaitz. Val ze nema batia beirech neretz Hashem. Someone breaks bread and makes a bracha, in such a case, is rebelling against the Reuven Shleilo. So ask the Magen Avraham, it's very nice that we say that there's no kinyan happening here. The kinyan is all happening by the Goy. The Goy did the Yush and then he gave it over to Yid Bereshus. But the Ri himself, who says that there's no problem of mitzvah Baba Aveira in such a case, he says you definitely can't make a bracha on it. You're enabling a gezel to take place. You're right that you're not doing the gezel, but how has the gezel happened? There's no problem with mitzvah Baba Aveira either. Because pardon? Which who's the shliach?
Not enabling the goy. The goy does make
the goy could only the stealing was finished. It was complete by me acquiring it. I have done nothing wrong. I was allowed to take it. Yeah, because I didn't do the ma'aseh gezel.
Yeah.
There's no mitzvah baba aveira, but there's no bracha either. Boitzeh berach with brachas for all machmer. You're going to come place the Rebbeinu Shalom.
I feel if in the Yid it wouldn't be a problem, because in the middle the Yid is stealing it. Yeah? It's koni, it's chai for the gzeilin, it's chai for the, but it's stealing, but it's koni.
Yeah, exactly, like Tochanan, like when he steals wheat and he grinds it. It's a perfect chino mice, yeah. It's the best change possible. Yeah. He doesn't have to give back the wheat, but he's still not allowed to make a bracha. Can't make a bracha. You can't make a bracha on stolen objects.
He can be a Mekadosh woman with it.
He can be a Mekadosh woman with it, yeah. He can buy an Esrog with it. He technically can be a Tzimitzus Esrog. It is. It is, but you can't make a bracha. It's bracha some wacham. So says the Magen Avraham, what are we going to do now? Rav Huna said this whole patent, this whole trick in order to be koineh, but how are you going to make a bracha? And the Mogen Avraham also asks you another place. The Mogen Avraham is there talking about building a sukkah on land which belongs to the public, a public right of way, which they're very busy with. In Europe, they're very busy with how can you get rishus to build a sukkah on public land. You're allowed to build a sukkah in the street. Can you get permission? If you do build a sukkah in the street without permission, then it's stolen as well. So the Mogen Avraham is very worried about it. The Mogen Avraham says that the Mogen Avraham's got various yeshuvim. In one place he says that it's a sofek. In another place he says perhaps it's yush. The Mogen Avraham is very busy with it, but he answers Avankar. He says Avankar is only a sofek. Avankar, by there we're talking about only a sofek. Now, and therefore it's okay. But we haven't yet discussed what would happen, Taka. What would the other shittas hold about stealing? According to Rashi, stealing from a goy is not a problem. But according to the other shittas, stealing from a goy is a problem, right? I haven't been entirely accurate. According to Rashi, if the original land belonged to a goy, there was not a problem. But according to the other Rishonim, the Rashba in Shuvah says, if the original land yet did belong to a goy, it is a problem. Right? Now, he says, Mali, goy, Mali, Yisro. So we've got a machlokes Rishonim here. Now, let's take a regular story of a goy. John steals from Jack. Yeah? To whom does the stolen object belong? To the gazlan or to the nigzar? To the gazlan? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Seems simple enough, right? Says the nesivus, no? No, it still belongs to the nigzar. The gazlan is chayv misa, because a goy is killed for stealing a shavu puta, but it belongs to the nigzar. The Riaz says a fascinating idea. The Riaz learns the sugi like Rashi of Avakri, and he says, why are we only worried about Yisrael? Because if it was a goy who stole from a goy, then when the second goy stole from the first goy, so the first goy was Miyayish, and it becomes like Hefka, and then the Yid can come and take it along himself. So the Riaz is clearly learning that there's no kinyan of it from a goy, when he steals. So you come and take from the second goy, it's Hefka, go and take it, cut it yourself. So it seems to be there's a machlokes Rishonim going on here. There could be there's machlokes Acharonim as well. The Mishnah Berurah with Aruch HaShulchan. When this sugi is brought down in Halacha, cited in Halacha, so the Shulchan Aruch Taka Paskins, he says that when you go cut Avraminim, Mishum Dramar rather, Mishum Zayesh Lizor, you have to be careful, Shalom Yikta Yisrael Ba'atzmoy, Echad Ba'arba Minim Shabalulov. You can't cut any of the Dalat Minim. Because if you cut any of the Dalat Minim by yourself, then you've got the problem of the sugi of Sukkah, of Avankar. Yeah? So what should you do? You should ask them to cut it. So says the Aruch HaShulchan, in the Guinness HaSorim, yeah? The Aruch HaShulchan's Lashon is, yeah? You have to be careful. When you go to the Sorim, there's Guinness HaChoyer, there's winter gardens, Shakurin in Zebai, whatever they are, sometimes gardens. And there's Lulavim and Hadassans there. If the owner himself, if the Poritz himself gives you over the Arba Minim, then that's fine. It's very good, you can take it yourself. But if the wife of the Tsar gives it, yeah? If the wife of the Tsar gives it over to you, perhaps she didn't get permission. So you shouldn't cut it yourself. Rather, she should cut it herself and then give it to you. Now let me ask you a question. In the case of the Avankari, there was definitely yush. The people definitely gave up hope, the original owners. Now over here, you come into the garden, you come into the moich, and you say, can I take a lulav off your husband's tree? And she says, sure, take the lulav. Now, if she didn't have permission, there's definitely no yiush. There's definitely no giving up hope. But nevertheless, the Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, let her cut it off. She should cut it off herself, and then she should give it to you. But where's the yiush? You always need giving up hope with a shin rishus. In such a case where she's cut off the lulav from her husband's tree, there's no yiush, there's no giving up hope.
You wouldn't dare to say anything to your husband.
Pardon? We're talking about Russia in the 17th century, yeah? So, she's cut off a lura from her husband's tree with no yush, and she's giving it to you, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, fine, no problem. It seems that the Aruch HaShulchan learns that when a goy steals from a goy, when the woman is stealing from her husband, it's fine. Either she's koinet, or she isn't koinet, or she must be koinet, otherwise you couldn't have. Excuse me. She must have been koinet, because otherwise you'd have a problem. And then she passes it on to you. But the Mishnah Berurah says that even when you buy land in Chutz La'aretz, perhaps when you cut the hadassim from your own field, you should get a goy to cut it. Because perhaps the fellow who sold you your field stole it. And karka in an exilus, the yish is only kicking in when you cut it. So it's easy, machalakis achrayna. About whether you need yish, when a goy is this from a goy, whether you need yish or not. So now let's go back to our original question.
Yeah. I mean, in modern times, when all transactions are recorded at the land registry.
Yeah, dini de malchus.
It's not stolen.
Oh, so now we're going to get on to dini de malchus. The Mishnah Berurah already says the way there's the Archa Shulchan, the Mishnah Berurah already said, where there's dini de malchus, then we don't have to worry about this. We don't have to worry that perhaps the land is stolen. Now, let's follow the timeline of this Esrog. Reuven came, he landed in JFK, and he brought the Esrog, and he was holding Esrog in his suitcase. Who does it belong to? To him. The customs officer stopped him and confiscated it. Reuven went home very ungesetzt, and Miash gave up hope of his beautiful Esrog that he had, and now he has to go look for a new Esrog. To whom does the Esrog belong now?
To the state.
To?
The state.
Oh, so it belongs to customs. Dina de Malchus Dina. Yeah, the customs officer has a right to confiscate items, so now it belongs to the state. So now it's sitting in the customs office in the airport. And our friendly goy has taken it from the customs office in the airport. So he's...
He's stolen.
He's stolen. Has the state been miyayish? Haven't they given up hope yet? They're totally not aware. They think it's part of the incinerating package, right? So now, our customs agent has stolen from the state. There's been a ma'aseh gezel without the yush. Now he comes along and passes it over to the dentist. So now the dentist has got this asterisk. There's been another shin rishus, but it doesn't help us because there's been no yush. Pardon? So according to Rashi, there's no problem. Why according to Rashi is there no problem? Because gezel ago is only midarabonon, but that's only if it's a sofik, not if it's a vadai. Rashi was only saying that where we're not sure whether karka is stolen by the avankari, it could be it was stolen, we don't know. It's only mitam eva, so where there's a sofik, so then. So where there's a sofik?
Also with the customs, yeah, it can be the easier you use because usually they're destroying you. So according to the customs,
he's saying that the customs are already, the state has already been miyash because I think it's been destroyed already.
It's not yush, it's hefka.
It's yush like, lemidas. Pardon? Yeah. Again?
I don't know whether it means yush, smaller hefka. It's about to be destroyed anyway. Oh. Nobody's going to have any other.
So now we're coming along to a question. So now, if we're going to come to that far in a moment. But if we assume that there is a machloikis going on here between the achrenim and the rishonim, when one goy steals from a second goy, whether it belongs to the second goy, so that would depend, that would, our shadow would be dependent on this. When the goy is stolen from customs, if he is koinis, he's allowed to pass it on to yid. There's no problem with mitzvah or lavir because the yid's not even enabling the kinyan. The mitzvah is not creating the kinyan, he's not enabling the kinyan, and he can even make a bracha. Because he wasn't involved as part of the history of the stolen esrog. How it came to him is irrelevant. So lechari can make a bracha. But if the goy was not koina, so it still belongs to the state perhaps, then if we can go. But as you correctly said, the state is intending for it to be incinerated. So let me ask you a question. If I go to the customs office in JFK and I go to the incinerating room, the four things we've got incinerated, and I see there's a nice apple there, and I eat the apple. So do I get done in for destruction of federal property or not? I'm not a federal lawyer, I'm not a customs lawyer. Yeah. So perhaps the esrog doesn't even care about it. Perhaps they've designated it for Srefa, and this is what someone wanted to say this far, that because it's designated for burning, so the government's got no interest in acquiring it.
They don't want it to leave the customs
rule. Fine, very good. So they don't want it to leave the customs. So there's a law that they don't want it to leave the customs. Do they own it? Do they want to own it? Do they have any interest in it? It's not like a diamond that they can auction off. So it could be the bechlal because they don't have any interest in owning it. So they don't consider it belonging to them at all. And another spot what Ron could say was that it could be that. How does dinah de malchus work? If the law says this is for sure. Yeah. If the law says that the state has got a right to seizure, the state has got the right to seize objects. It doesn't mean that the object, as soon as I've been over a law and as soon as I've broken the law, this object belongs to the state, yes? If I bring an esrog in and I don't show it to the customs officer, and he's never approved its entry into the country, it doesn't belong to the state. That's for sure not. The state's got a right for seizure. Once the state seizes it, does the Din of the Malchus say that now it belongs to the state, even in the case of diamonds? Yeah, once the state seizes it, does the Din of the Malchus say that the state owns it? Or rather, does it create a Din Momen? That's a separate discussion. Does it mean that the state can own it, they have a right to it? It's a separate discussion. So in our case, back to our case, because we're finishing our time, back to our case, we've got three tzedotim. Perhaps the Yid owns it totally and he can make a bracha. Perhaps the Goy had no right to steal it and therefore the Yid is getting it perhaps by Aveira and he can't make a bracha. Or perhaps Bechal, the state, had no interest in owning it and therefore they're ready to be mafkir it. So what is the conclusion we can reach about our case? Can the Yid make a bracha? Pashtus, he should not make a bracha, because there's a very strong tzad to say that the Esrog is an Esrog HaGozel. The Bechal belongs to the state and the Yid can't take it. Yeah? So it could be an Esrog HaGozel. Nevertheless, if he does take it for mitzvah on the first day, without making the bracha, when he goes and takes another Esrog to be Yetzer, he also can't make a bracha. Because perhaps that first Esrog, that stolen Esrog, Taka did belong to him. Maybe the state does not have an interest. So therefore, if he did take it, he could not make a bracha. So what should he do with it? The simplest way is to use another esrog. Yeah, he could possibly ask the customs agent to clean the esrog for him and approve its exit, and then it doesn't have to get destroyed anymore. And then the customs agent stamagazlan, he stamabushas, but then it belongs to him. Now this has to be noted. This is only in cases where the esrog was not allowed into the country, because there was a worry about bags, where it's designated for incineration. But if the duty wasn't paid, if there was a duty on the esrog and the duty wasn't paid, that becomes a whole different discussion. Because here, for sure, the government did want to own it, and there'll have to be duty paid on it, and there'll be all sorts of, there'll be another whole shiur about that.